And the music first.
Oh, no, oh, okay. We are recording.
What movie?
You guys, guess what my beach towel is for this summer?
Christopher Waltz.
No.
Oh.
Robert Peterson?
Peterson. No. Ew.
Brad Pitt.
You guys like it.
Scoot up a little bit more, Logan.
Dad knows it. Dad.
Kristen Stewart.
Yeah. Dad, what's my towel for this summer?
Oh, I thought you wanted them to guess.
I did, but they're being retarded.
The classic Marvel characters and the art, classic artwork.
For Avengers.
The Avengers classic? Sweet.
Yeah.
Good towel.
I know.
Let's roll.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 36 of Comic Pop Library. I am Richard, along with
Chris,
Matt,
April,
Logan.
And today we are going to be reviewing the movie Django Unchained. And then later on, April's going to talk to us about, what is it?
Dark Lolita.
I was
Lolita Dark.
Lolita Dark.
Ah. Lolita Dark. I always get their name. I honestly always mix up their name.
I'm afraid I do the same thing. So we'll be doing Lolita Dark's debut album, Tokyo Status. So
for the first part, we're going to see how many times we can drop the N-bomb.
No. Not a good thing. Yeah,
we could literally replace it with N-bomb instead.
We might have to, because holy cows. And you'll understand that here, that reference here in a minute. Django Unchained was written and directed by Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, so God.
If you're a fan of his movies, this one is, it's he hasn't released one in a while, I don't think. It has been a while. It's been a few years. Since he's actually had one. Some of his previous ones, not really so much of a great story, just kind of a weird epic movie.
Well, he did those grunge movies there for a while, and like you said earlier when we were talking outside, Machete.
Yeah, he did Machete, I think, one, which is a couple different strange ones. This one has a really good storyline about a slave, and I didn't actually get a time frame, but I'm saying definitely before the Civil War.
Yeah, 1858.
Is that what it said?
I remember two years before.
1850 something. Somewhere in Texas.
Somewhere in Texas. I remember it saying that, and they travel all over.
It's literally somewhere.
And we'll get through a little bit in the story. It stars Jamie Foxx as Django. Christopher Waltz. Watts. I'm not sure how you say that. Schultz. He's the Dr. King.
Schultz.
Those are the two kind of main characters throughout the entire movie. Stars Leonardo DiCaprio, Kerry Washington, who plays Broomhilda, and Samuel L. Jackson, who plays Steven. And those are kind of the main characters you see, those five, throughout the movie. Really, the two you see the most is Jamie Foxx and Christopher.
According to IMDb, the last one he did was Inglourious Basterds.
Really?
Okay. That was an 09.
I love that movie, too. That was actually a really good one of his. Total fiction, but great movie. It starts out, there's quite a long interlude in the movie at the beginning where it's them marching. Django being in chains.
It starts off really old school, like an old school western with like the block letters.
The spaghetti westerns.
It does.
You can put this in there or not, but eventually you're going to have to get a little racist because that's what this movie's about.
Uh, It is.
Yeah.
So, in order to describe what's going on in the movie, you're going to have to say black people, white people.
It is. And that's why I said it. It's set during that slave era in time.
It's in the South.
Yeah. And it's in the South. It's in the Deep South, Louisiana. Mm-hmm.
And Alabama.
And Alabama. Mississippi. I mean, these are definitely.
And the main white one is a non-slaver mentality.
Yeah, he was a German.
Yeah, he was a German. Yeah. The Dr. King is a German. And to kind of give you a little plot of the movie.
Dr. King?
Yeah.
Yep. Is he a white guy?
Yes, he is. Yes.
Okay, he's a white guy. Okay.
He is the German. And basically, he rides up on Django and this chain gang being marched somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, slaves being marched somewhere. And he basically wants to know if he was at the certain plantation so that he can identify these guys. The doctor is a bounty hunter. He kills the horse.
I know.
Well, I guess he kills one of the brothers first, and then he kills the horse, and you're kind of going, okay, this guy's a little weird, and he makes a little more sense later on.
Because, you know, like, because he's trying to be all civilized, like, and he was using some bigger words, and the guys on the horse was like, use English, please.
Really educated guy, you know, the doctor is. He makes a deal with Django that says, hey, you come with me, identify these guys, I'll give you money for the bounty that you helped me do.
And freedom.
He says, and your freedom. He says, okay, freeze Django.
So Django's the black guy.
I think it was funny.
Jamie Foxx. Django's the black guy.
I think it was funny that while he was like, because, you know, he still wants to legally, you know, buy him. Mm-hmm. So
he writes
illegal.
A bill of sale.
Yeah, he writes a bill of sale on his little notebook. And while he's unlocking Django's chains, he has his like shotgun. He's like, here,
hands
hold
one
this
of
to one of the other slaves. And the slave's like, what,
guy's
kind of
dumbfounded
happening?
That he's got a shotgun in his hand.
Yeah, he just and left it there, too.
Hold what?
A shotgun.
Oh, okay.
He gives one of the slaves a shotgun and says, hold this. Why he unchains Django.
Oh, okay.
And the slave's just kind of holding the shotgun going,
What?
So
what's happening?
You have to see some of the comedy that's in this and put your mindset.
It was
Django know English at that point? Okay.
Oh, yeah. He's an educated guy, yes.
One of the humorous parts you forgot, the wagon trailing behind him and the tooth on top of it.
Oh, the doctor was supposed to be a dentist.
And he was.
That's why he's Dr. King.
Ago. He's got this molar that's just kind of bobbing back.
He's got a really bad cavity, too, you can tell.
Yeah. So there is a little bit of humor in the movie, and to kind of get the personality of the doctor as he's riding off with Django, he talks to the slaves and he said, you know, you can either pick up this guy that's laying here and carry him 37 miles back to town that way, or you can take that gun, kill him, and head north. And just in case there's no astronomers among you, the North Star is that one.
Yeah, because...
And they ride off. And you're kind of going, okay. And the slaves walk over and shoot the guy.
Yeah, that cracked me up so bad because I would be that one slave that would not know anything about the stars. I'd be like, that one looks bright enough. Let's go that way. Like, that would be me.
And that's kind of how the movie starts out. And you start getting the personalities of some of these people. And I don't want to go really, really in depth with the movie because I think it'll take away from the experience of some people watching it. But
well, we mentioned it was a Tarantino. How do you pronounce his name?
Tarantino.
So it is going to be a little bit of black humor. And I mean, it's really dark.
It's really funny humor, though. It's funny,
but it's really dark.
It is really dark. And
it's violent. I mean, when people get shot, blood is pretty much splattery.
It, typical kind of Tarantino movie.
Blood is Tarantino's middle name.
Pretty much. So. I have to warn everyone, you got to remember, like I said before,
this is pre-Civil War,
slave era. There are
racial slurs left and right.
I could not count how many N-bombs and F-bombs were in this movie. It is very prolific in saying those.
And Tarantino doesn't back away from that. If you remember, Chris mentioning Glorious Bastards was his last movie. It was the same way that movie, too. So
yeah, a lot in that. And as I said, you got to put your mindset into that it was the slave era, and this was a common thing. You know, it was not a big deal to say that. I know when I was talking to Chris about it, he said he had either saw or read about an interview with Jamie Foxx and
I saw it.
And Leonardo DiCaprio, that Leonardo DiCaprio had a very hard time saying that to Jamie Foxx. And basically, Jamie Foxx, being an actor and everything else, basically said, you need to sell this in this movie. You need to. And basically took him aside and said, let me have it. And just until he could get to say it to where he was comfortable saying it to him, or somewhere around that line. So, I mean, I can imagine the actors having a hard time with this.
See, and
Jamie Foxx is bigger than him, too. So,
Jamie Foxx is a pretty big guy. You said what?
And Leonardo, he actually played my favorite character in the movie. Like, I know he was the bad guy and everything, but he had that weird, likable personality mm-hmm. about them that no matter what he did, you still want to like him.
Yeah, and a little more into the storyline, you know, I'd said that he had made that deal with Jamie Foxx to be the bounty hunter and help him, and he kind of taught him how to be a bounty hunter, and in their talking, getting to know each other, being bounty hunters, he basically says that Jamie Foxx's character, Django, says he was married to a lady named Broomhilda, who spoke German, and they had run away, they'd been beaten when they got caught, and they were sold separately to different slaves. He wanted to get his wife back.
And so somehow they
made a deal that once he got done helping him bounty hunt through the winter,
they would go find
his wife during the summer, which led them to Candyland is the name of it, what the plantation was named,
mm-hmm.
To where they were going to make a deal to buy back basically his wife and her freedom, and things kind of go wrong.
I think it was kind of weird how they went about doing that.
It was kind of one of those deals where there's this whole story element that took up probably a good third of the movie, and mm-hmm. then in the end it didn't matter, it all went to crap anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, it didn't matter what they did, it all backfired on them. But, and I think that's the point of it, was it kind of backfired, because their deal was they were going to go there to buy a fighting slave,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of like dog fights would be, but yeah. they were pretty fighting much. Slaves, fight right. to the death.
They were treated like animals.
Yeah, they were. And that's kind of what they had gone there to do. And in that, the whole thing was because Broomhilda spoke German, that was their end to try and get Broomhilda into
because the doctor the bot. Spoke German. Because
he was German.
Because
so he
I haven't heard
German
my
word.
Language, you know, so that's why.
Well, it was kind of their story, how they played into the story of getting them where things go wrong. To me, mm-hmm. I love the storyline. I thought it was great.
I really like it.
Yeah.
It was good action.
And we learned that Django could watch another slave get ripped to pieces by dogs and not flinch.
That one was kind of...
that was pretty rough to watch.
That made me kind of go...
Yeah, that was me. I was like...
You know, but...
the Django character was supposed to be a slaver.
So he was
a freeman that was a slaver, so...
And he was black, which was worse than just a white slaver.
And so basically what Candy did to... It was like a test. He had...
Somewhat of a test. A slave had run away.
And instead of pulling him off to go get punished, he punished him right there with the dogs and just looked at Django the whole time to see if he'd flinch or anything.
And then Django just went, now if this is your best, yeah, it's not looking very promising.
Because he was acting it out.
Because the runaway slave was one of the fighters. And they went there
to supposedly buy.
You know, you've got to like Quentin Tarantino movies, and you've got to be able to handle his movies with a little more on this one than some of the others. I mean, Inglourious Basterds was kind of rough in some of the stuff they did. This one's worse than that one, I think. Not saying I wouldn't watch it again. I loved the movie. It was just, he keeps
if there was a blood
level.
Scale and Mel Gibson was at the top, Tarantino was trying to get above him.
I think he already passed it.
Yeah, he passed him a while back.
Yeah, he passed him a
while
back.
Well, I was thinking of Passion.
Oh, no. This one is... I mean, this, you just got to remember
where
that,
they were flogging,
that racist.
Where they were flogging.
Yeah. I mean, that was bad, but it's the combination of the racism and storyline in this one. But you have to have that racism
to
for the storyline.
To actually be where it's supposed to be set, yeah.
That's the other thing, if... You kind of have to have an open mind when you go listen to it, because there's a lot of racism in it, and today that upsets people. So if you can't handle it, don't go watch it. That's what it sounds like.
It will get uncomfortable, but if you can sit through the squeamish thing, you know.
Yeah, a few of the squeamish things. And granted, Tarantino does a good job of breaking up some of the horrible with comedy.
Yeah, that's kind of made it lighter.
The whole scene after they catch the first three guys that they were after. And they're parked out in this open valley field type thing. And everybody from the first plantation where they killed these three guys that were wanted. You know, you see them come riding down the hill. They've got these white masks on. They start surrounding the wagon. And all suddenly the scene stops. And it cuts to them on the hill wearing these masks.
Like having this
basically complaining about the masks
because
not being able to see.
Because wife made them. They couldn't see through the eye holes.
Couldn't see through the eye holes.
And what was so funny.
There was just this whole, and it was probably a good two 2-3 minutes.
Probably it was worth yeah, because they were all complaining and they were like
complaining about these masks and they're like, well, you know what? Thanks for making the mask, but you know maybe next time we
when
should
we
make
get
a little
it
better
really and, down. And, you know, yeah.
The one whose wife made it just said, "Ah, you guys, I'm going."
Yeah, yeah. He was
I'll
like,
"Screw you guys, I'm leaving." And
so if you don't
going,
appreciate
what?
Our work, and then
you know, so there is comedy.
What I thought was funny was that there were like two main leaders of that group that were up above them a bit, mm-hmm. you know, and there was the plantation owner, and then there was Jonah Hill beside him.
Yep,
Jonah Hill's
Jonah
in that movie.
Hill is
just
in
that little snip,
and like
snip.
Yeah, they don't
cameo.
They yeah, don't. Probably, they don't well, promote the, Jonah Hill at all in the commercials or anything, but because
the first plantation owner wasn't that Don Johnson.
Don Johnson, yeah,
yeah, it was Don Johnson. Yeah, he's not in there very long. Neither one of them are in there, but
yeah, he had like barely you know, what, minutes. Barely two scenes, roughly, and like with like a quick flash of him talking. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it was quite humorous. Yeah, it kind of was. Oh, hey, cool.
That was so funny.
But you know, and I don't know. It's one, this is one of those movies that I one of the reasons I wanted to do it was one I wanted to see it, and after I watched it and seen what it was people really need to be educated of what's in this movie to warn
before
people
they
that are going to you know somebody that just sees it and goes, oh hey, what's this about? And when someone explains it to them, hopefully they'll go, oh maybe I don't want to watch that.
It's yeah,
you know
what, is it just me or is Quentin Tarantino playing Where's Waldo with his movies?
Why do you say that?
Because he makes an appearance in every movie he's done.
Yeah, he is.
He's
just
a,
like Stan Lee.
LaQuint Dickey Mining Company employee.
Yep.
Oh, he was one of those guys?
You didn't miss that? At the end when Django basically gets captured.
Which one was
and
it?
And tricks the guys into letting him go.
Yeah, yeah there
one
was,
of those is Quentin Tarantino.
There was like two Australians and then an American.
Yeah, and
that.
He was one of them. Yeah, it wasn't quite the end, but it was close to the end of the movie.
And a warning, there is something after the movie.
Yeah,
maybe
the
3 or 5 seconds, but there is something.
After the credits, there's a little clip again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with the saves,
can't
yeah.
remember what they said.
And another kind of weird character that you could love, hate kind of thing, like Candy's character is his kind of right-hand man, Steven, who's a slave
Samuel
too.
Jackson.
But I don't know, it's like, because he's really funny, like he's like back-talking him and everything.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you realize, wow, he is actually not a good guy. Like,
no, he's
wow.
not. He's flat out an ass, and so is...
Yeah, he's just
you know,
horrible.
I think this movie won a couple Academy Awards. I'm not
I
sure.
I can't tell you.
It was either not... It was nominated for several, and I think it won a couple. Kish, you want to look that up real quick? I mean, they really did sell it. But like I said, it you know, you really have to warn people. I know, you know, towards the end of these, we usually say age range. Man, unless you are a really sturdy teen, and, you know, April 15, 16, and really have a grasp on it, man, I...
If you have not...
I
if you have
sure.
not matured, then do not watch this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I know it's rated R.
For the most part, it's going to be adults that would check
yeah,
this
and
one
if
out.
You don't have, like, the history knowledge of that, like...
Yeah, you
it's got,
definitely...
It's got two... It was nominated and won for one Oscar. It's got a bunch of other awards that aren't... That
aren't major.
Well, none that I recognize. An AFI Award for Movie of the Year. A Saturn Award for Best Action Film. Nominated by the Art Directors Guild for Excellent in Production Design. Austin Film Critics won Best Film. Or Best Supporting Actor for Christopher Waltz. Also best nominated for Best Film but didn't win it. Best Screenplay by the Australian Film Institute. It's got lots of awards. The list goes on and
oh,
on.
Oh,
and
I don't
for,
doubt it. It was interesting.
I think one of the funnier things that we didn't touch on was there, yeah, that first plantation run they went on where they had to find the three men.
I know where you're going with this.
Yep, I know. Because... At first, they were in this town, and they're picking out these clothes, you know, and he's and Django's just so shocked that he gets to pick out his own outfit, because he's going to be playing a valet as his character for this, and he's like, oh my gosh, I get to pick this, and it doesn't show him picking one at all, but it just cuts to them walking up to their plantation.
Riding up, actually, but yeah.
Yeah, riding up, and he's on his horse, striding up there, like, the manliest person alive. He's got a haircut, you know, kind of buzzed, and he's wearing, like, this bright blue...
I'm talking, like... Deep
blue.
Blue. bright
with the
and that's
ruffles.
Big white kind of what you would see in a court in Europe.
Kind of like yeah, like a ballroom.
Yeah.
Court thing.
And he's wearing that, but then he's honestly, one of the slaves is taking him to show him around or whatever, and she goes, "You're really a free man?" He's like, "Yeah, I am." "And you choose to dress like that?" And he's
I like this.
Wait, what's wrong with the way I'm dressed?
You know, I think it's funny because like I think that's the manliest that outfit can ever look. Like even though no matter what,
it was bad.
He's still somehow he pulled it off because he was just like,
yeah,
heck,
he did.
Yeah,
it
I'm
was,
wearing this.
It was interesting. I kind of like that same scene where he says, "Are you sure that's him?" I don't know what you, he goes.
Oh,
no.
Are you positive?
Are you positive? And he goes, "I don't know what." He goes.
He's like, "No."
He's like, "No."
He's like,
"You're not
sure?"
Positive? He's like,
"But you're
yeah."
Not.
He goes, "No, I don't know what positive means." "Are you sure?"
"Yeah,
I'm sure." "You positive?" "Yeah, I'm positive." Shoots the guy. Guy falls over, and Jamie Foxx goes, "Positive, he's dead."
Yeah.
It was also nominated for. It was nominated for 6 MTV Music Awards and received a Golden Globe.
Maybe the Golden Globe was what
I don't
thinking.
Think, yeah, with MTV, I don't think.
Actually, 2 Golden Globes. Best Performance by Supporting Actor and Best Screenplay.
Honestly, with MTV viewers, I don't think they would have voted on that. That's not for MTV.
Good.
And I'm pretty sure nobody has mentioned the glasses yet.
Oh, the round glasses that he wore, sunglasses?
The round
I like
glasses
those.
With
those
two
cool.
lines in between them.
His hat and his
hat. That he wore as a slaver.
That was cool.
Man, he was like, dang.
It's good.
He worked every single thing he wore there. It was like...
You know, it was a great movie. It's just one of those that you have to be warned that, man, this is not everybody's going to like it. And even if you like Tarantino movies, you may not like it just for the racism. But I would definitely recommend, you know, having it. It is a good movie if you can get past that and what time frame it was.
You've got to accept that you are going to be uncomfortable in some spots. Like, what?
Okay. And if it makes you feel any better, most of the people who display a lot of racism die shortly after.
Well, yeah, true. Pretty much everybody does.
But I was going to mention, April said not very many people would vote at the MTV Awards. But I remember why now, do you? The soundtrack isn't a normal Western soundtrack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like their soundtracks are all rapping and like gangsta. I'm like, okay, whatever. Yeah.
Nominated for Best Fight by Jamie Foxx, Best Kiss by Kerry Washington and Jamie Foxx, Best Male Performance, Best On-Screen Duo by Leonardo DiCaprio and Samuel L. Jackson.
You know what?
I love
them
two
together.
Yeah,
were,
that was good.
That was amazing.
Best Villain, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Movie of the Year.
Dude,
and,
Leonardo DiCaprio, he played a villain awesomely.
Because he's still like my favorite character. He died at the end of the movie, and I honestly was like Samuel L. Jackson's like character was like all like freaking out because, you know, like he basically raised Candy, the slave, so that they had that kind of family relationship, and he was like all grieving and everything. I'm like, that's how I felt. Like, even though he was the bad character, it's like you
he
didn't
was a
want
very
him to
good
die.
Bad guy. He
you
was.
Did not want him to die. It's kind of like the Joker.
Yeah.
You can't get rid of him.
You can't kill the Joker.
It's like, no, it's like you can't do that.
But I'd say, you know, definitely don't have, you should have. It is a very good movie. Just warn people when, you know, they go to check it out. Definitely warn them that, you know, this is kind of a little, you might want to, you know, warn them a bit so that someone doesn't come back irate that you let them check out this movie. I don't know if it's, you should say that, but hey. What everybody else's opinion?
I really liked it. You know, it's like I was uncomfortable in some spots, but I really, really liked this
movie. Oh, there's a few that I was. And one of my friends watched it. He loved it, but he even said too that there's a few uncomfortable things
you
in
don't,
there.
Well, you don't know uncomfortable unless you go see this in a dark room, you know, like a theater, and you're sitting next to, and you got black people on both sides of you.
And you're just like,
that would be uncomfortable. Yeah, dude, that would be
extremely
uncomfortable.
Holy crap, that would be bad.
Like, probably would be. I think, this would be one I'd
just
would
the
definitely purchase.
The quality of the movie? Jeez, like all the acting was amazing. It was like, that's like one of the best movies I've seen.
One of the things you don't usually hear about with Tarantino movies is the acting. Where
yeah,
this
it's good
one,
acting.
It could have went the opposite way, like we've been talking about. This movie could have been the worst movie done, slammed because of what it was done, but it was the acting that saves this movie and makes it worth saying that if you can make it through this, it is a good movie. It's purely on the acting.
It was kind of like, and I don't know really about Inglourious Basterds, how that one really did. I liked it. I thought it was kind of funny. It was interesting. And that was the typical Tarantino kind of breaking things around. sound weird, you know, leaving big gaps for your imagination.
Right.
And I think that one did very good, but it had very good acting in it, too. I think that one did very well in that aspect. And that may be something we're looking at, the way he's changing his movies.
Because I think, like, out of all the movies I've watched, you know, in my so many years of life, that's really, like, I think the only movie, really, that I've actually taken notice that is good acting. Like, it's very prominent, like, dang.
Chris is going to have to go watch it now, just because.
And you kind of wonder what other director would have been courageous enough to do a type of movie like that.
Anything
besides
like this.
Tarantino.
Tarantino's always been out there with all his movies.
Yeah, he has to be somebody that was really out there, and like I said, the acting of the actors saved him tremendously with this.
Didn't he do Reservoir Dogs?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes,
did he?
Okay.
And that one was, I mean, you can just go back and count the movies that he's been, he pushes the envelope, and this is definitely one of them that he did, but I enjoyed it.
Maybe that's why it took him so long to do another movie, was because he wanted a new way to push the envelope.
Maybe. Possibly. He definitely did it. It was good.
And I did see that he's announced that he's doing another movie here, and I'll tell you what it is here in a second.
Snap.
I know.
Django Unchained 2.
No.
That'd be good.
I don't know what else to do with that movie.
The Doctor comes back as a zombie.
Badlanders.
Badlanders.
Might be another Western or something, maybe. I don't know.
Sounds interesting. People to look forward to.
It was rumored, but it also says announced, but doesn't know when it's coming out yet.
Does it have a little...
Nope. That's all it says.
Info? It's just the movie name?
Okay. Just question marks.
Cool. I'm good with that. That kind of wraps it up with me.
Comes out like 20 years later.
Just be warned.
Yep, just be warned. We'd like to take this moment now to make a short pause for Dodge City Public Library.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land, so why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month.
Hi, it's Ray from Lolita Dark. You are listening to Comic Pop Library.
And we are back with the review of Lolita Dark's debut album, Tokyo Status. April, take it away.
Yep. The opening song was Girls, and the song you just heard was Tokyo Status. And this is a group, they have two lead vocalists, Ray and May, that are from
Japan.
Are they
real names?
I would say no.
Shortened names.
Yeah, okay. It's like...
I mean, one of them is Japanese, and...
Both are
Japanese.
They're both from Japan.
And then it also has Joey Felix as on drums, Patrick Cabrera.
Yeah, I don't know how you say that.
I guess, I'm sorry if I got that wrong, as on lead guitar, and Rain Balin, I would say, on the bass guitar.
Now, is their whole band from Japan, or is it just the two singers?
I believe it's just two singers.
Looks like just the two lead singers.
The other three look kind of American, or at least not Japan.
And they also kind of look like they're dressed in...
As steampunk?
Steampunk.
I would classify them as steampunk or
goth?
I would say more of a steampunk, because it kind of leans towards the Western vibe, like steampunk usually does.
But it's all black and white.
Depends.
And
it's kind of hard to tell.
Very rarely
color.
Does it
have any theme or mechanics in it?
I looked it up on the web. I just see what they look like in color.
That is not steampunk. That is Lolita. That is the Lolita, not steampunk.
I would consider it.
I didn't understand what.
Lolita?
It's Lolita. Lolita is actually a fashion over in Japan.
Okay.
And this is, like you said, it's goth. They do have a Lolita goth, and that's basically what this is. But it's because Lolita fashions are kind of geared toward the Victorian age, that's where you can get the steampunk feel.
Like, true, when you get into the Lolita and the steampunk, somewhere it intertwines.
Steampunk usually means having to do with steam or mechanical.
The steam era. Right.
Well, there's also this guy that has on like maybe a pilot's type of uniform with the goggles on. So, you know, there's always that blurry line of Lolita and steampunk where they kind of mix together.
I bet
you may wonder why we're talking about fashion on a music.
Well,
CD.
Because
it's
that's
just the way they well, it's part of way their music.
I read somewhere that they are actually trying to, I'm going to say, push their type of dress, their type of costume style,
because they are wanting to bring a new era, I guess. To I think they're in L.A., right?
Yeah. I believe they're based out of L.A., yes.
And I would consider them definitely a rock group.
Yeah, let's see. Really?
I kind of got that vibe.
They're pretty hard, though.
Pretty hard.
Yeah.
They got a good hard beat. Rock. I mean, I love the beats. I mean,
but
go ahead, April. Sorry.
I kind of like some of the songs, you know, like, but I like more of their less instrumental songs. Like, I guess I don't like that really heavy rock, though. And I think vocals... I don't know if I really like the vocals in some of the songs, really.
Is it because you can't understand them?
I can't understand
No,
what
I don't.
Saying.
I listen to K-pop all the time, so I don't care about...
Okay, what's K-pop?
Korean pop.
Music.
North Korean or South Korean?
They generalize it as just Korean.
Yeah.
Nice, Chris.
But this is actually would be classified as J-rock, Japanese rock.
Okay.
Yeah, because this is coming out of the anime movement that... come over the anime conventions. They have the J-pop, J-rock, the stuff that
and
April was talking about, the K-rock and K-pop.
K-pop.
Korean,
you're starting to sound like radio stations. This is K-rock, WMPR.
It is, and I don't know. And that's where we found them. We found them at the Denver convention that we went to.
Yep.
We saw their table and picked up a card.
And a disc.
Yeah. But yeah, I
got it going through my head. This is KROK. 103 FM.
But yeah, I think I don't like the vocals on all of the songs. So that would be one of my critiques.
Stop. Critiques. What? Anything?
Were you commenting on their style?
Nope.
Oh.
I was commenting on Richard pointing out some of the outfits that you could buy.
Yeah, yes. They have a combo deal.
That wasn't the one that was she was
coming. No,
on.
It's part of the combo.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that is part of the CD combo pack. I've got this.
It's not something people usually sell.
Really, Matt?
Did you purchase that
really?
For your wife? Richard?
Hold on. No, wait, really. If it comes with panties, Matt will buy it.
No, I was actually thinking I should buy the CD and say, here, honey, look, I got you something.
Honestly, that's actually the first group that I've ever come across that has that in their combo pack. Like, hey.
Interesting. I did not realize that was part of the combo
pack. Yeah, I was like, wow.
How much is the combo pack?
Yeah, Matt's on board.
Are they for you or for your wife?
He wants to
really?
On his head.
Well, one of these, it is J-Rock, so you're not going to understand all the language.
They do kind of intertwine some English in
right.
it, though.
Okay. But
the music with it is a rock feel. To me, this is going to be a little bit of a limited. We talked about last time with the Celtic music. That's a limited market. This is a little bit more limited. Places have anime fans for Japanese animation. They'll really get into this. But also, if you can get the rock people just to give it a try, they might listen to it, but
might listen to
I don't know. They'll just have to depend on their individual taste.
I think the biggest turnoff, I think, would be that they're singing mostly in Japanese.
You know what? There is a huge following of people that listen to Euro metal and just outside United States metal because they like the rhythm. They like the how the vocals fit
they
in.
They don't care what they're
saying.
Like
it's different. Rammstein.
Rammstein. That's what
I have a friend who's just totally into Rammstein and is always over at my house. Here's a new album. Here's another one. I'm like...
And it's just... It's because of the beat of the music and the music,
and
not the word.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mike if you're listening. Sorry.
And like... And that's how me with my K-pop, I like listening. I don't care if I don't understand it because the video and how they're singing it. And usually they try to put in at least a little bit of English in all of their songs, like maybe a verse or so or a chorus. You get the kind of vibe of the song of what's happening.
Chris, did you look up see if they had anything on YouTube?
Yeah, this is their first album.
This is the first album. They did have a music video that they were working on, but I don't know if it's ready yet or not.
Okay.
I would pronounce it
I couldn't look
Zish.
It up without the comic pop atmosphere knowing about it. Hearing it. As I turned it on.
Okay, well, it's called, I would pronounce it Zexiao. That's probably not right, but...
We can ask.
Yeah.
Later.
There will be an interview with... Who are we interviewing?
Ray.
With the one of the lead singers, Ray.
Which will probably be before this actually gets put out, but...
Yeah, so listen for that.
We apologize, Ray, for any mispronunciations.
Yeah, so sorry, you know. We're trying our best here.
Now, there's one of the songs that starts out slow, and then they... To me, it kind of goes into a screamo mode, and I'm not a screamo fan.
Yeah, I think that's the one song that I was like, ooh.
So that's one that I didn't really enjoy, but the others... What is that? Oh.
Rage music, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like, they're not really singing, they're just, you know, yelling at.
I want to see the case.
And it was like, and I really enjoyed that song because I liked kind of like that mellower thing, and then it was like, oh my gosh, no.
They sing in Japanese, but all their titles are in English.
Yeah, oh, except for that first one.
I couldn't
like
even
I said,
how to say
there,
that
there
first
is
one.
A following of people out there that do like listening
right.
Just uh-huh. for the musicality, I guess. I don't know.
The rhythm.
I like the. Granted, I don't speak it, I can't read it, but for some reason I like the flow of the Japanese language.
I think
so
it's funny
when
how
I hear
like
them singing, it doesn't bother me. I just, you know, with the music and the singing, I just enjoy it. Even
I think it's funny.
I'm gonna horribly stereotype her. It all sounds the same to me.
This is coming from the ex music major.
Yeah.
But I don't speak Japanese.
But
we're talking about the language,
mushy,
Matt.
Mushy mushy.
I can tell different words apart usually. Baka. And I don't even know the language either.
You know that one?
No.
You know what? I'm stupid. We are neck deep in Spanish here, and I still can't.
No, I
can't
don't.
Speak
no.
a word of it.
Can't speak.
And the only reason I know.
I can read it.
Mushy Mushy is my wife's family when they're in the military. We're in Japan.
All the
so
Chinese
mushy, mushy
I know
hello.
Is what I've seen from Rush Hour.
But, like, because I think it's really funny how, like, we say one sentence here, and it's, like, five paragraphs. And then in the Japanese language or whatever, and I'm like, that sounds so difficult. It's like,
do you know the do you know how to say upper and lower classmen?
Upper and lower classmen?
If you need to, you can get a manga. They're in almost every cover.
Logan, what does baka mean? After.
Idiot.
Thank you.
Or cow, depending on what. Or cow.
Scary that you picked that up.
Or cow, depending on what language you're using.
Okay.
Japanese idiot.
Okay.
We're good. You asked.
I just asked for the Japan one, the one that everyone
you
knows.
You asked. So now, back into the music, which I enjoy rock music. I like all kinds of music. So
bullcrap.
It's interesting.
No. Whoa.
Okay, there's some music I don't like.
Thank you.
I listen to it.
I like all kinds of music except for everything that's not rock and roll.
Oh, you
no,
forgot
not.
Something.
I
Christian.
To, hey.
Anything
Christian.
Not rock.
Hey.
I listen to classic music. I listen to country music. I listen to the Celtic and thought it was pretty cool. Yeah. Thank
April,
you.
April, you're forgetting something. Anything that he doesn't like is not music.
Yeah.
Yeah, clearly
not. A movie
no.
I don't like. Oh. Sorry.
Every single other review, I didn't really get into it. I didn't really like it.
But I listened to it.
God.
I shouldn't say I like all kinds of music. I listen to all kinds of music.
Thank you. Yeah.
Keep going, you guys. Because usually she's picking on me when I'm
I know.
Don't read
yeah,
books.
I know.
That's
you guys go ahead. I'm enjoying this.
That's because you never talk on my reviews. Because
you
never listen to it.
Oh, wow, it's getting harder.
I didn't
it's getting deep in here.
Yes.
From what I've seen today or heard today or whatever, it's pretty good.
I didn't understand the sequel.
Well, there are some, like I said, even, like Logan was saying, even though we might not understand it, it's pretty good. I enjoy the music. I enjoy the lyrics. And some of the reasons they have the English words in there is, if I remember right, there are some words that aren't translatable in both directions.
So they just say
yes.
English words?
So they
words.
Use the English
it
or
usually
they
happens
use the
in
Japanese
some
version. So
happens
a lot
in
of that
a lot
happens.
Of languages.
Yep.
Just an example for Matt, translating Greek to English.
Yeah. It's
or Hebrew or...
Actually, I don't think you can translate Greek straight into English. I think they have to translate it to another language first.
And then translate
I
it
I think
again.
Hebrew is the same way, but don't quote me on that.
And here's a little... Do you want to read this from their website or you want me to, April? That little top part about what the album
is
like.
What is their
like.
Website?
Huh?
What is their website?
Their website, it's in the case, actually, if you
Lolita.com.
Yeah.
Lolita.
If you take
dark,
out the CD,
com.
They have it right there.
Okay.
On the CD.
No, I just wanted to.
And I'll have a link to that on the show notes too. So
this is describing the CD, the album. It says, after descending into the darkness of her childhood memories, a single idea pierced her heart like a blade. Salvation, redemption, sanctuary, to unlock a path, for those who have lost their bearing, to help those who have no choice to answer the silent cries of a strong heart hidden behind a smiling face. Lolita Dark is the sacred garden of wanderers, travelers, and urban warriors. Fronted by two authentic Japanese singers, Lolita Dark brings the brand new movement to Los Angeles' somewhat stale rock scene. Their innovative music to appearance is nothing you've ever experienced before. Lolita Dark is the new beginning. And that's the album's kind of motto. Yeah.
And some of the words are, and music is a little dark as well, but just to go back to their name again, the Lolita Dark, it's based off, like Chris was saying, the fashion movement. And we'll get into this a little bit with the interview, too. We don't want to put forth that this is a negative connotation that Lolita usually brings forth for American audiences.
Mm-mm.
Because Lolita. Of the novel Lolita. Because it was about an older man falling in love with a teenager and having sexual relations. That's not what this is about. The Lolita Dark in this, the Lolita is talking about the fashion industry and that fashion movement
and
over in Japan.
How we've talked about the gothic Lolita, that's not the only Lolita style out there, because it branches off into like the sweetest little girl, you know, like Tea Time, Alice in Wonderland type, bright, very modest Victorian outfits to the gothic, dark, to everything's
country.
Torn up. Yeah, to country vibed.
And they also
it goes
have
everywhere
a,
with it.
I guess I'm not all up on my fashion.
Yeah, you right. know, get with it.
And they also have the business attire where ladies that actually go into the business world the,
can wear it's
they can wear the
Lolita
still, but it's more of a finer fashion.
And join us and, next time on Comic Pop Library yes. Review Fashion.
And
gonna have to add someone new.
The Lolita part of it is supposed to it brings back the innocence of that time period, and that's why they use the Lolita.
So it's like it's like completely. Like off branches of Lolita, you know.
Okay, I was gonna say, you know, I'm kind of like Richard. If it's not a t-shirt and blue jeans,
I don't care.
Or cowboy boots and a hat.
I don't wear those either.
A beer and a wife beater.
Yeah, talking about a negative connotation.
Oh my gosh!
Holy connotation.
If you want a beard, you should grow one.
No, not beard.
Not beard.
Beer. Oh, I was...
Drink.
There's this
that
Facebook...
That's not something to wear either.
No.
On Facebook, sorry. One
it
of the pages I liked...
Crap-faced and bleh.
So one of the pages I've liked on Facebook, like, they give out these kind of questions, like my questions each day, and one of them was, name a drink that does not have a letter E in it. And, you know, I put down my comment, and I like to look at the other comments to see, you know, who got it right and everything. And there's this one kid who was like, beer. I'm like, that basically makes the word. Like, you can't have beer without the two E's.
Nope.
It's like, oh, he might have been drunk when he posted that.
Yep.
Well, yeah, you said they have a
peach
website.
Peach schnapps.
Do they have a Facebook page?
Nope. Too bad. Peach.
I would assume so. Go look for it.
You just say schnapps.
Wow. Coca-Cola.
They're still going on about the drink thing.
Vodka.
And I'm trying to go on. That has an E in it.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Vodka. You don't know how to spell.
Wow.
You don't drink much either.
They got it.
Coca-Cola.
They're still going on. Don't really care about the show.
Yes.
Shut up when I said
Lolita
this is why
Dark.
You guys don't talk on my reviews.
Yes. Lolita Dark does have a website, like we mentioned earlier.
You can even add with a twist.
Well, if you want to add a twist to the website, yeah, I guess you could.
I would assume they have a Facebook page, but I'm not for sure on it. So you can go look for them. They might be there.
Martini.
Good one.
True.
Drum.
Also.
Okay, guys.
Hey, I like how on that question, it only said drinks, and everyone on the comments was naming off alcoholic drinks.
That is kind
of
funny.
So none of them answered Coca-Cola?
No, it was all alcohol.
Coca-Cola, no E.
No, America.
Coke, yes E. Coca-Cola, no.
But anyway, back to Lolita Dark again. One of the things I did want to mention for Ray of the group, she was involved this last year with the Culture Alliance of Long Beach for a... the 2013 Cherry Blossom and Anime Festival. It's already happened. We realize that, but
it'll happen
I'm
next year.
Probably going to say, yeah, I'm probably going to say it will probably be an annual event. So if you're in the LA or Long Beach area, this will probably be something to keep your ear to the ground each April to see when it's going to be taking place.
Where's Long Beach?
Somewhere in California.
I was thinking it's California? Either California or Florida.
California.
Okay. They have a lot of blank beaches. Just fill it in.
But this one, there's nothing. Well, to be honest, I can't tell you what the lyrics are, so I can't really say if they're
really
good
they're
or bad.
Not translated in there somewhere. In the
you make those lyrics whatever you want them to be.
Not even on the
like the epic song.
On the website, they do have the lyrics posted, but they're in Japanese as well. I don't know if they're actually gonna
Google
get them
Translator.
Into English or not.
What?
So I can't tell you what the lyrics are.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't tell you if there are some that might not be appealing.
I remember. Album of Rammstein came out and everybody was like, the lyrics suck if you read them and what they are or whatever. And then, you know, me and a bunch of friends were just like, I don't care. I just like listening to German metal.
True.
So it may not make a difference what they are saying.
Right. If you enjoy the rock bands, I think for in April, let's say if you think it's differently, small libraries would probably wouldn't want this one.
Depends on who you have in your community, yeah. Unless you have that specific anime group, then I wouldn't pick it up if you're smaller. But if you're bigger, yeah, go for it.
Is it an import or can you get it since they're out of California?
You can get it.
You can purchase it. Right now, like I said, you can purchase it
on
their website, and it's out of California, so there
well,
wouldn't
I
be any international
I figured it was out of California,
fees.
I didn't. Yeah.
Road trip.
But there's one, like I said, and since there's a steampunk feel to it, maybe some people that are into steampunk might also enjoy this. But I think it'd be more for the medium to larger to large libraries that would really might be interested in this on their shelves. Smaller libraries, like April said, it would just have to know
depend
your community.
On who you have.
If you definitely have an animation club or steampunk club,
yeah,
I would say. Yeah. Give this a strong consideration. They'd enjoy it and appreciate you recognizing them. You know, they're part of the community because the libraries are there to serve all parts of the community. And sometimes some groups kind of, there's not a lot of stuff out there for some groups. And when something comes along and you think it's good enough, try to add it. And this is one that I think it's, like I said, I like the good rock beats. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked some songs. I didn't like some songs. No, it was.
You know, for an artist, would it be offensive that we don't care what your lyrics are?
Well, no. I still get feelings out of it. I still enjoy it.
Because instruments are supposed to give you feeling too.
Because that's like to it me
could,
the
I mean, they could be
part,
saying they could be saying America sucks. You suck. Everybody in America sucks. But
they could be. We don't know if they're actually saying this. Just to clarify,
I'm sure they're not saying
I'm
that.
I'm pretty sure they're not.
But. But that's my point, you know, it's like, does it...
To me, it wouldn't matter.
If you really want to get the translations, you're interested, fine. To me, I've always enjoyed Japanese music, the rock and pop, so...
Now, I personally like listening to instruments more than voice anyways. I like both. I agree you can get emotions out of both, but I think you get stronger emotions out of the instruments than the voice for me.
You don't listen to opera, do you?
No. Oh, my gosh.
That'd be an example where what they're saying isn't necessarily important, but emotion. Or the Pavarotti.
It's like, yeah, vocals do give off emotion. I just get more emotion from an instrument. How Pavarotti's other people get it from vocals too, you know.
But I think that pretty much wraps it up. Unless there's anything else anybody wants to mention.
Nope.
Okay, I guess we can leave it off. We appreciate everybody listening.
Logan, stop reading.
Hello.
Sorry.
Hey, we happy now?
He's not paying attention. we're gonna
pay
be
attention to me, damn it!
No, we're gonna be saying bye, and he'll be like, "What?" And then we'll have to
I
do it all over again.
I noticed you were saying bye. I was hearing that at the time.
So now that it's taken about a minute to say goodbye, we hope everybody has enjoyed this
Radio
episode.
Wow. Sorry, Richard, I had to do
and
it.
And another minute, by golly.
You guys always make sure I'm paying attention when we start it. Why can't he pay attention when we end it?
Oh. 3, 2, 1.
And this is the way it is in our world as it turns round and round. We're having fun. Hope you guys are enjoying it just as much. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.